I am excited to introduce Jeremy here this morning. It's been a joy and such a privilege and honor to be able to interact with him and connect with him over the past few months. I think I had like four interviews when I interviewed for the associate pastor position. I think we were up to like seven or eight. But anyway, this is the furthest west they've ever been. So they're from the Midwest, so they haven't seen, what is this mountain stuff? What is this outdoor oven thing going on?
I know.
Like, what is it, 110 degrees today? So if they can survive today, they can survive any time of the year. But they're hailing from Wisconsin. Jeremy's a recent Maranatha Seminary grad. He got his Master's of Divinity this last May. Huge accomplishment. He's also been a dorm supervising there for the last 3 years, and being the lay leader of his youth group at his church for, I think, the last 6 years, right? So we're excited what the Lord will have for us, in store for us moving forward, Lord willing, to have them come on board, you know, pending our vote and everything. But yeah, I want to go ahead and invite him up here and share any other information he wants with us about him and his family and what the Lord's doing. But looking forward to having him preach for us this morning.
Well, it is good to be here. We got in on Thursday afternoon, I guess, around 11. And since then, it's been filled with meetings, meeting the deacons, meeting the Cohens in person. We did a GLOW with the youth group and then a young adults bowling activity. So it's been a lot of fun, but really this is the reason we came, to be with you on Sunday and to meet the church family. So if you haven't come and met us, we would love to meet you. We'll try to kind of make our rounds. Be thinking of questions to ask us. Maddie and I will be answering some questions during or after the potluck time. So think of questions you'd love to ask me or ask Maddie, ask both of us, and we'll answer them to the best of our abilities. Yes, we're from Wisconsin, and we love the heat. So when I got in contact with Chris, the president at Maranatha, was like, hey, recently, Chris sent me an email, and if you want me to pass that on to you, he's looking for an associate pastor position. I was like, sure, and Maddie and I love the heat, so it's been beautiful down here. It is hot, though. I'm not going to deny that. So we're excited to be here and visit with you, open God's Word this morning with you. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we'll be. My lapel thing on and good? All right, perfect. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 to 16, and you see that on the screen. I've entitled this Foundational Pillars Really for Every Church. I preached this message at our church back at home, but the wonderful thing about God's Word is that's the Word for every church. It's the Word that we dive in that instructs us. So it doesn't matter if we're here in Tucson or the church back in Wisconsin that Maddie and I have gone to, this is God's Word for us. And so we're going to look at it, we're going to look into it, and see how it instructs us, what it teaches us this morning. So Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll read verses 11 to 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to open up your word. Would it speak to us? Would your word, through your Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us this morning as we read it, as we give the meaning, seek to understand it, and as we work to apply it in our own lives and in the lives of Desert Foothills here as a church. We pray this in your name. Amen. Foundational pillars for every church. I'm sure you've never walked into a church like this, but for sake of illustration, what would you think if you walked into a church on a Sunday morning and you were greeted by a couple, maybe toddlers, 6, 7, 8-year-olds? You walked past them, you walked into the auditorium here, and some more 6, 7, 8-year-olds handed you the church bulletin. They said, welcome. You walked in here, the piano started to play, so you found a seat. You sat down, you looked up, and you realized it was another small kid there playing the piano, and you're like, okay, that's interesting. So the service starts, a young kid gives the announcements, another younger child gives the leads the singing, and so then in your mind you're like wondering, okay, like I guess the pastor's gonna get up and preach here pretty soon. So the worship time is done, and another young kid gets up from the first pew and walks up here and opens God's word and starts to preach. Probably at that time you'd be like, man, what is going on here? Well, that's kind of an illustration that leads us into this passage. Paul is instructing the Ephesians on what their church needs to look like. And really, the gist of it is that their church must pursue spiritual maturity. They must grow up. You see that, for sake of illustration, that church is made up of a lot of young kids. They haven't grown up into their physical adult bodies yet, so they're still immature. But we as a church, what Paul is encouraging the Ephesians towards is to continue to grow up. And that's a process that we never stop working towards as a church body. Each one of us as individual members, we're working to grow up and mature as believers. And then also as a church body, there's something to be said for a church body growing up, pursuing maturity as a unit, as a body together. So we're just going to look kind of together, seeking to answer this question. What is fundamentally necessary for a mature church, for a mature believer, for us together? What does Ephesians, what does Paul have to tell the Ephesians, and today tell us, Desert Foothills here, that he would have for us? I think first we see we must pursue spiritual maturity. So we ask the question, what does that look like? Well, first, a spiritually mature church has a clear process. We see that here in verses 11 and 12. Notice the process that Paul lays out. And God gave the apostles, prophets, and evangelists. Apostles and prophets, obviously, we don't have those today. But they are who really gave us God's word. The apostles wrote out God's word a lot, the New Testament for us. The prophets really recorded a lot of the Old Testament for us, the apostles and prophets. The evangelists, we have evangelists. We think of that as someone that travels around, does evangelistic meetings. We have those today. The shepherds, I have that written down as pastors. So we have evangelists, the shepherds, which is a pastor, someone that shepherds the body of believer, a local church, the shepherds and teachers. So these people, God has given these people, gifted people to teach and instruct, to lead, to do what? Well, verse 12 says to equip the saints for the work of ministry. We often refer to us as believers or Christians, but a word that the New Testament uses frequently is saints. As a believer, you're a saint. As a believer, I'm a saint. And the clear process that Paul lays out is that evangelists, pastors, or shepherds, that's what we understand as that title, that position in the church, and teachers are called to equip the saints. That's their process. That's kind of the flow that happens in Scripture. At Maranatha, we've just built a nice pavilion kind of on a big grassy field that we have there. And over the summer, I usually work capital improvements, doing some construction stuff. I enjoy that stuff. And my boss's name is Steve, and Steve is the manager, I guess, of capital improvements. He's in charge of that. And so as we've built this pavilion, Steve hasn't done all the work as the manager, but he's definitely equipped all of us to do it. So all of us workers, he's given us the tools, he's given us the resources. At times he even gets in there and says, like, this is how I want this to go. This is the color I want this painted. This is the part that needs to get nailed on. He's equipped us to do the work. And that's what evangelists and pastors and teachers do. They equip the saints. And we're all saints as believers. So all of us are called to do work. Evangelists, shepherds, and teachers are called to equip the saints. Sometimes we naturally look at the church leaders as you're in the ministry, but truthfully, we all have a job to do. And that's what Paul wants the Ephesian church to realize, is that we're all full-time in ministry. We're all serving. We all have a job to do, something that's placed before us. And that is found in verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Saints are called to serve and to build up the body. They're called to minister and edify. We all have that job. That responsibility is placed before me as a saint, and it's placed before you as a saint. And it's our responsibility to build up this body, to care for it. That word minister has the idea of simply serving. We're called to serve the church and the church body. It's what Martha was doing when she was preparing a meal for the disciples, but she went a little overboard, and she was more concerned about serving than about Jesus. We're here to serve, and our focus is on Jesus, serving as our Lord served. Building up, the church members are called to build up the church. We can do that through a host of different things. Whatever your talents and your abilities are, or what you have time and resources for, you can build up the church. I can build up the church. We're all here working together to build this body of believers into a more mature church. And it all requires this process of church leaders equipping the saints, which is all of us, to serve and to build. So what can you do, and how can the church leadership put you in that role so that you can do what you're gifted at, what God has given you the desires, the passions to do? The New Testament church has been set up really by God to fully engage and invest all of our lives in, because there's always going to be another person that you can serve. There's always going to be someone that needs to be built up in this church. That's how this life works in this broken world. Believers, saints need to be built up. Each of us need building up daily. Those who say yes to this process that Ephesians 4, 1 through 12 lays out, say really yes to a life of adventure and hard work. That's very fulfilling, because you're investing in eternity. Don't let sinfulness hold you back, the flesh and fear or selfishness or pride from putting yourself out there and serving, hold you back from investing in this process that God has given to us as we work to mature and grow as a church and as a body of saints. Commitment to this lifestyle of serving and building up the church and other believers, requires something of you. And that's why our Lord said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Christ was the perfect servant to the apostles, those around him, his followers, and he was the perfect example of building them up, of restoring them. My mind naturally goes to Peter after he's denied him. Christ rose from the dead, comes back, and Jesus perfectly restores Peter, builds Peter up, tells Peter exactly what he needs to know. Are you engaged in ministering and in building up the body of saints here? Are you invested in serving and building others up? Do you have any ideas of a way that you could serve others? Do it. Do you have an ability or an activity that you would love to do? direct it to Chris and put it in place in this body of believers. Church leadership, do you have a method or a direction that you think this church should go that better equips the saints? Put it in place. Get it rolling. Because we're all here working to serve and build up the body of believers. Infinite possibilities could fit within this biblical process for spiritual mature church, where we're serving and we're building each other up. There's infinite ways that we could build up this church, where there's infinite possibilities of how you could serve someone else. So first, we see that a spiritually mature church has a clear process. We're pursuing this spiritually mature believer and this spiritually mature church, and there's a clear process that Paul lays out. It's a flow, really. But then secondly, we see a spiritually mature church has an end product. It has something that we're striving for, that we want to produce. You think of in a factory, you're trying to produce this one piece and do it the exact same way thousands and millions of times so that it's the exact same. That's your end product. You try to develop it until it's almost perfect. Well, it's very similar in a spiritually mature church. It has an end product. What do you get when you pursue a spiritually mature church? Verse 13 provides us that answer. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. A spiritually mature church is seeking to become more and more unified in this faith that we have in God's word and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's why we have preaching and teaching from the pastors, the shepherds and the teachers, the evangelists, the church leadership. They're trying to instruct us more and more in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's what we need to grow in. If we're going to be Christ-like, we have to know more and more about Christ. So, a spiritually mature church has an end product, and that's believers who are unified in the faith. Unity in the faith is impossible on our own. We must pursue the knowledge of the Son of God, and through Christ, we have perfect unity. Christ is our head. As believers, as saints and churches look to Christ, they can be unified together. We're very different. All of us are very different, and that's a good thing. There won't be unity in just us, but there is unity in us looking to Christ and pressing on towards Christ-likeness, and then you just see us, a body of believers, grow close together and unified. As believers and churches look to each other, they will become disunified. They'll definitely split, but Christ is our unifier. There's unity in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only that, though, but believers who are perfect or mature. See, believers who are perfect, which means mature. You see that in this verse, to mature manhood. This is talking about, like, spiritually. This isn't talking about you just growing from a young child to an adult. This is spiritual maturity. A mature man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we understand this as we are like Christ, the more and more we're like Christ, the more and more we're mature as believers, and the more and more we grow into manhood and womanhood as believers, as saints. Maturity is ideal because otherwise you'll be tossed to and fro like a child. We're not to verse 14 yet, but let me at least mention it in this point, so that you may no longer be children, tossed to and fro. A young child can be swayed with random things. I think of, you tell a young child, like, this is the coolest thing, and they immediately think, like, this toy is the coolest thing. But, like, maybe the next day you'll tell them something else is absolutely the coolest thing, and they'll be swayed to that. You can change a child's mind very easily. But a mature believer shouldn't be swayed as easily. They're not going to be tossed to and fro spiritually. They're going to be established. They're going to be rooted. Mature believers, according to Hebrews 5:14, are believers who have developed the ability to discern between good and evil. That ability doesn't come naturally to either one of us. We're corrupt. We're sinful to our core, really. But through God's Word and the Holy Spirit, as we grow as believers, we grow in the ability to discern, you know what, that's evil, that's wrong. Even like this is like evil, although it's kind of portrayed as good or okay. You develop that as you grow as a believer. You also have the ability to see what's right. You can see through and understand like this is right, and this is what I'm gonna pursue. That's what a mature believer, a perfect believer is. They have that ability. 1 Corinthians 13:11 portrays putting away immature believer attitudes or actions, desires. Corinthian portrays it as they're living carnally. Paul says, you're believers, but I gotta speak to you like you're carnal, like you're acting like unbelievers. That's what an immature believer acts like. They act a little bit carnally. And they need to put aside that carnality, those immature believers, that unbeliever attitude or that unbeliever action or desire. We know sin clings closely to us, but through Jesus Christ, through the body of believers, through God's word, we can put aside, put off those sinful desires. So we need to be mature as believers. That's the end product. As we follow God's process, what happens? Well, we become unified. You develop a unified church. That's the product that is put on display for others. You also develop more and more mature believers in that body. You're less and less immature because you're all growing. So the end product is you have a unified church that is filled with mature believers and seeing unbelievers get saved and then just carried along this process towards maturity. That's what Paul would have the Ephesian church do. Not only that, though, the rest of verse 13 shows us that believers, that this end product is believers that show to each other and the world really all the attributes and qualities of Christ. That's what a mature believer is. It's someone that more and more reflects Christ on a good day, on a day that is very trying, through a trial, through the highs and lows of life, really. That's what a mature believer is. And that's the end product, where the body of believers is more accurately, more consistently reflecting Christ's character and qualities. I think it's no mistake by God that he gave us four gospels that show us different aspects of Christ's life and his ministry, because we're seeing Christ in different angles and different episodes that he had and different characteristics that he displayed to people. We need to be diving into those gospels to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can grow and grow towards Christ's likeness with more of our being. Paul's prayer was that this church would be filled with the fullness of God. I want you to go one chapter back, Ephesians 3 and verse 19. Paul often is praying for this Ephesian church. And in his letter, you have prayers that show up that he has been praying for them. There's one towards the end of Ephesians chapter 1. And there's another one here that ends Ephesians chapter 3. Let me start in verse 14 so you kind of get this whole chunk of the prayer. But I want you to notice how really he's focusing in on them becoming more Christ-like. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ. That's the knowledge we need to grow in, how much Christ loved us, how much love is like core to who our Heavenly Father and Jesus, our Savior, is. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may become more and more Christ-like, really, to know him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This was an utmost prayer request that Paul had for the Ephesian church, that they would grow in their ability to show to each other, the other saints, and to the world next door, the world, maybe an office over from you at your work, all the attributes and qualities of Jesus Christ. Of utmost is love. So how are you growing the knowledge of God's Son? 1 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. How are you doing that? Do you need to incorporate regular Bible reading into your day, into your schedule? Or maybe you need to incorporate, you already have regular Bible reading, but incorporate prayer throughout that regular Bible reading where you're talking with the Lord. Or do you just need to pick up maybe a book written by a Christian author that's expounding on something, some topic of Christ or some truth, some doctrine? Do you need to pick something like that up and start reading it and getting your mind thinking? Maybe you just need to listen to, you have some free time, you can turn on Christian music and listen to those truths and meditate and worship the Lord based on those truths. How can I grow in grace in the knowledge of our Savior? That's our goal, is to grow in this knowledge. A mature church is made up of believers that have grown in this knowledge. We'll never reach knowing everything, but we can have that direction. We can be walking that path of growing in greater knowledge. This church pursues spiritual maturity through preaching and teaching God's word. And maybe the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what else do we need to do to grow in knowledge? Or maybe you as a saint pursue spiritual maturity through personal devotions. And what else do you need to do to grow in this knowledge? We need to pursue this process that God's word gives us, striving for this end product, mature believers. But thirdly, we see there's really a clear purpose for us doing this. A spiritually mature church has a clear purpose as well, and that purpose is laid out for us in verses 14 to 16. So if we had to ask ourselves, why in the world are we pursuing spiritual maturity? Well, so that we can serve, we can build up the body, but here in verses 14 and 16, it's vital, and you'll notice that in these verses. First, we'll look at verse 14. So we pursue spiritual maturity for this purpose, so that we're no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You know, we pursue spiritual maturity for this purpose, solid doctrine. We want to have solid doctrine. We have to have solid doctrine as a church, as individual saints. We have to grow in that doctrine. Really, doctrine is just a set of beliefs that is held too tightly. And I think sometimes what makes this tricky is Scripture doesn't just lay out, like, hold these 10. Scripture is written to us from God, and it's really a book that we have to study through to understand, because there's some doctrines that, man, we can't let go of. I think of the doctrine that Jesus is God. Jesus claimed to be God. Man, we have to hold to that doctrine very tightly. But maybe there's a different doctrine that is held a little bit loosely. And we have to also realize that this is a doctrine, but we hold to it a little bit loosely. Let me give an example. I was listening to Tom's, I think it was Sunday evening service, and he was talking about the end times through Thessalonians. And he was talking about post-mill, pre-mill, post-trib, pre-trib, whatever. This church has a stance, and we hold to that stance. But I think he said that, man, we have believers, fellow believers, they're going to be worshiping at God's throne with us that are a different one. So maybe we call this a kind of a secondary doctrine that, yeah, we hold to because we have a belief on it, but we hold to it loosely. You see, the clear purpose is we have to have solid doctrine, and I think what makes that difficult for us is there's some doctrines, no, we can't let go of, otherwise we will stray completely. But there's other ones that we hold to loosely, we hold to with grace, realizing that there's difference. There can be differences church to church or even saint to saint, and that's okay. We still pursue Christ, we pursue unity, and we have that as we keep our eyes on Christ. So we have to pursue solid doctrine. If we don't, I think we'll be that double-minded man. We'll be that double-minded church that's just unstable in all its ways, and we don't desire that. We desire to be a stable church. All of us desire to be stable believers that are focused, that are living with this clear purpose in mind to grow in solid doctrine. I think something else that makes it hard to have solid doctrine isn't just the fact that some doctrines you can't deny and other ones you can hold to loosely, realizing there's different. Something else that makes it hard is our heart is deceitful. Apart from God's word instructing us, our heart, our own self, will lead us astray. And guess what? Churches are made up of men that are sinners and leaders that are sinners that will lead people astray unless they're in God's word. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" If we're not following God's word, we will be deceived. We will be led astray. If we're not pursuing solid doctrine found in God's word, we will lose that purpose that we have of displaying Christ to the world, of growing in maturity. So we must pursue solid doctrine. But the second one we see is in verse 15, and that's speaking truth lovingly. That's our purpose. That's our goal, so that me as a saint can speak the truth lovingly to you as a saint, so that you can speak it to a family member, so that you can speak it to a coworker or a fellow student. Our desire is to be able to speak this truth lovingly. Maybe for some of us, we have to grow in just the opening our mouth and taking kind of that first step to speak. And we're gonna probably struggle because it's hard to articulate the truth the first time clearly and accurately and do it lovingly, but we've taken that step. Or maybe you can easily speak, but you have to work on understanding the truth and articulating it to that unbeliever or to that family member. And then you know when you, this is like wrapping a present, the bow on the top that is vital is love. For us to speak the truth but not do it lovingly is really coming short, falling short of what Christ did. Every word out of his mouth was one of love. And sometimes it was hard for people to take because it was very truthful. It hit them right where they needed to be hit, but it was always spoken out of love. So this clear purpose that we're striving for is having solid doctrine, but it's also speaking the truth lovingly to everyone, whether it's a saint, whether it's a saint family member or an unbelieving family member or a coworker, a difficult person. That's our purpose. Every word out of our mouth be spoken truthfully, the truth, which we find in God's word, but done with love. And then lastly, we see this in verse 16, so that we really just function properly and effectively. That's our desire. We don't want to be a body of believers that's hampered by something that isn't functioning properly. You see that in verse 16. "From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." You see, this church here is a body. If we just played it out in our minds, a couple of you are eyes, a couple of you are mouths, the mouth, you have hands, you have feet, you have ears. And if, let's say, the ear isn't functioning properly, then it's not hearing well, and that hampers the whole body. The rest of the body struggles. I love to run. I ran in high school and in college, cross country and track. And man, when we got to a race, if I had something that was hampering me, like a hamstring or my calf, and it really affected everything. It would affect my mind because I'd be in the race and you'd think you could say, just set it aside, just push as hard as you can no matter what. Nah, it would affect my stride, my mindset. I wouldn't race as courageously because just one little part wasn't functioning properly. So we start to see how important then it actually is for each one of us as saints to strive to have solid doctrine, to speak the truth lovingly, to grow towards maturity, as a church grow towards maturity. Otherwise, we're running a race and we're running it with a pulled hamstring or a calf that just isn't running effectively for us. We need to, as individuals, resolve to work to grow towards maturity so that we can function properly and effectively within the body that God has placed us in. We all must pursue spiritual maturity. Believers at Desert Foothills Baptist Church, we as saints and as a church need to heed Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Because if we don't, we'll kind of be like that church that I began with in the illustration. We'll be children trying to do church, and we'll forget our purpose. We won't have a good product. We'll just go astray. But if we heed God's word as he lays it out for us, we will be a mature church functioning effectively, reaching the lost, growing towards maturity, united in the faith with sound doctrine. So I exhort the church leadership, as this passage did, how can we better equip the saints? That question should always be before church leadership. What can we do better to equip the saints to do the ministry, to serve? What would you like to do to serve? Okay, how can I put you in that position? There's room in Ephesians 4 for innovation and creativity, to customize it to the skill set of this church. That's why Scripture is beautiful. It doesn't say you have to do it this way and this way and this way. It says serve and build up the church, and then it's up to us to go do it. Like, how do we want to do it? So I exhort church leadership, how can you better equip the saints? I exhort you, church body, saints, how can you serve and build others up? There's also room in that for you to be creative, for you to use your skill set that you have, that God has given you. There's room for you to implement the desires that you have. I think God often leads through desires. So if you have a desire, and pass that on to the church leadership and say, hey, I have this desire to do this way to build up the church. Can I? Or how can we make this work? Use your abilities, talents, and the things you enjoy to build up and serve the saints around you. And may God bless and keep Desert Foothills. Would he make his face to shine on this church and this body of saints until we are before him. But until then, let us pursue spiritual maturity. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we need you. And we need your Holy Spirit through your word to instruct us as a church, as individual saints. We need to strive towards maturity. And that's something that we do by just placing little acts in our life, by regular reading your word, by being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, I pray that each one of us would work towards maturity, would work to grow in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for what you will do through this church and through each saint as they commit to serve and build up the body here. I pray this in your name. Amen.